How can you know for sure that God will accept you? How can you know for sure that God will accept you? This morning's Bible passage is all about being made right with God. It's about being accepted by God. And Paul the writer wants us to be confident before God, not hoping for the best or I've done my best, maybe God will do the rest, but confident that when we die or Jesus returns, God will accept us and welcome us into his kingdom. Paul mentions confidence three times. And the truth is that when it comes to being right with God, what we put our confidence in makes all the difference in the world. So we need to listen carefully to Paul's words here, to God's words, because the answer is not what we might expect. The adults have been learning from Paul on Sunday mornings this year, and we've been looking at the letter of 1 Corinthians. Let's put Corinth on the map. This is Corinth in Greece. And today's chapter is part of Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, which is also in Greece. So we've been learning about Paul. I thought we'd get to know him a bit better this morning. And here are a few photos of Philippi, just to give you a feel for what that ancient city was like. That's Philippi in Greece. Now, Paul was sent by God to speak about Jesus in Corinth, in Philippi, all over the place at that time. And here Paul tells us about himself, his background. He also tells us about the troublemakers in the city who were upsetting and tricking the Christians. They were a real problem. And Paul was so cross, he called them dogs, which wasn't a compliment. He's not talking about cute puppies you might have as pets. Seb and Sophie and Jack enjoyed meeting 8 puppies last year. Do you remember? Fortunately, they're not ours. 3 youngsters is enough chaos in our house. We don't need 8 more. No, he's talking about nasty, scary dogs that bite. You see, these troublemakers have been telling the people of Philippi that if they want to get right with God, then they have to do as they say. They invented rules that didn't come from God, but they insisted if you don't do these things, God won't accept you. We're the real people of God, these troublemakers would say. We're in, you're out, unless you do as we say. So Paul says, okay, let's have a competition. Let's play a pretend game of who's best before God. We'll play by your rules, but I'll win. Let's see who can boast the best about being right before God. Okay, and at this point, I'm going to need a volunteer, perhaps a member of Climbers, although Seb's been up already. Mariana, do you want to come up? Great. And don't worry, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I am going to, with Debbie's help, we're going to stick some badges on you. You're going to be the Apostle Paul. So, I think you need a tea towel for your head, don't you? And you can have a shirt or a robe, up to you. Got a tea towel there as well. Okay. Brilliant. Sorry, it is quite big, isn't it? Or just lying on top. Yeah, lovely. Okay. Now, very nice. I want you to give us a look like you're really pleased with yourself. Maybe sort of smug like that, or just sort of looking down on people. Yeah, that's pretty good. You're very pleased with yourself. Now, here we go. Paul starts, and he says, first, I was circumcised. He was talking about a Jewish ritual performed after he was born and making him an heir. Okay? Now, when Prince George was born, he became an heir to the throne of England. And Paul could say, when I was born, I became an heir to inherit all that God promised his people. Okay. Second, he says, I'm an Israelite. I'm not just a descendant of Abraham and Isaac, but of Jacob too. I am truly part of God's people. Sorry, there are quite a few of them. What else does he say? He says, thirdly, I'm a Benjamite from the tribe of Benjamin, which is Well, it's not quite the royal tribe of Judah, but the first king did come from our tribe, and we were the first tribe, well, we were the only tribe to stay loyal to King David when he was in trouble. Great. Next he says, lovely, he says, I am a Hebrew of Hebrews, born to parents who took living for God very seriously. I've got the language and the lifestyle of the scriptures. Well done. Then he says, I'm a Pharisee. And Pharisees don't just keep God's rules. We invent new ones. They made hundreds of rules just to be extra committed. In fact, when it comes to the law, I am faultless. Pick a law, any law. I bet you I can keep it. I keep the whole law, Paul would say. And don't forget, finally, I was a persecutor. I used to hunt down and lock up people who didn't think as I did. I even had them killed to try and please God. Oh, wow. With all these badges of honour, when God looks at me, he must be seriously impressed, Paul must have thought. And if we're boasting about who's best before God, these troublemakers have got nothing on me. I am the best. He doesn't sound very nice, does he? And you don't look very comfortable. Well done. He wasn't very nice. Christians were scared of him. Back then, he was a nasty figure who was called Saul, who thought he was friends with God, pleasing God with all these things. It wasn't until he met Jesus that he realized how wrong he was. Who's best before God? Well, as I say, it was a pretend game. He was being sarcastic, because that's how he used to think, but not anymore. God changed his heart and gave him a new name, a new life. And we're going to move on, but are you happy with that on your head? Do you mind? Maybe if we just put that one slightly lower, because I'm going to need you there for a bit longer. Perfect. And then you can actually see what's happening. Thank you, Debbie. Brilliant. Before we move on, we need to pause and think about how we can be like Paul, or Saul, before he was known as Paul. It would be easy to write him off as a nasty character, as a one-off religious fanatic. But we're all prone to boasting before God, trying to impress him with our badges of honour. We might be more polite about it, less extreme than Paul, but we all do it. The default setting of our hearts is to try and be right before God on the basis of who we are or what we do. Let me explain, and for this I'm going to need another volunteer. Seb, sit tight. I'll use you a bit later on. I saw Finley, and I know you've already come up at the front. And is that, Edward, I'll get you to come up a bit later. I've got another job for you. So, Finley, you come up, and we'll use Seb and Edward a bit later. Okay. Now, no costume for you. You're going to be yourself. Okay. But we are going to stick some things on you. So, first, we might say, I've been baptized. So if you turn and face the front, brilliant. I've been baptized. Many people think that being baptized makes them a Christian. Heaven. Sometimes rushing to baptize children soon after birth. Secondly, I don't know that any of us here can trace our family tree back to Israel, though that would be very special, a great privilege. But we might say, I come from a Christian country. Not only that, I'm Anglican, I'm from the right tribe, the Church of England. Some of us might say, I'm from a Christian home. Sorry, I'm going quite quickly, aren't I, Debbie? Hold on, you're keeping up, thank you. I'm from a Christian home. My parents are Christians, I was brought up a Christian. I've got the lingo and the lifestyle. What's more, I'm a good person. We're nearly there. I'm a good person. I may not be as law-abiding. I keep the rules at home, at school, at work. I keep the speed limit. I pay my taxes. Finally, I'm dedicated. And there isn't one for that. Because I want to ask you for some ideas from you. So, I'm dedicated. I do lots of good things to show how committed I am to God. I take it none of us hunts down or locks up people who don't think as we do. But what are some of the good things that we might do to try and make ourselves right before God? What are some of the good things that we might do to try and make ourselves right before God? Any ideas? Do shout them out. We've got a few in reserve. Ask for forgiveness. Okay. Although that might be something we need to do as a good thing. What about some of the things that we might rely on that we do that make us right before God? So ask for forgiveness is something we do need to do because we're not good. What's that? Yeah, we might say, because I love my neighbour, I'm right before God. Thank you. And Debbie's got one there, the Bible. We might say, well, I read my Bible every day. Any others? See if you can beat her to them. Prayer. I pray every day. Any others to shout out? Come to church. I come to church every Sunday. I must. God must be impressed by me.
Yeah.
And another one, I'm confirmed. I give to charity. I donate blood. And the list goes on. I care for the environment. We might be tempted to think that when we stand before God, he looks at us and, well, checklist in hand, he judges us on the basis of who we are and what we do. A bit like this. Phil Pedder. Christian home. Check. Reads his Bible. Check. Says his prayers. Check. Well, he's really rather good, isn't he? But then again, he does all these bad things. But on balance, he's good enough for heaven. However, it's not like that at all. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says next. He stops playing this sort of pretend game. And he tells us the truth, verse 7. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. And then verse 8. I consider everything a loss. I consider them garbage. What does that mean? What's he going on about? Well, it's not just the bad things he's done that count against him. Even the things he thinks are good count against him before God. God is perfect and pure, and even in his best moments, his best boasts are not. And the same goes for us. Even our best efforts fall short of God's standards. They're rubbish, Paul says. That's not to say that they're not good things. I'm not saying that getting baptized, reading your Bible and so on is bad, not at all. But when it comes to being right before God, they don't help us. They don't work in our favour. They count against us. We can't rely to put us right before God. So if I could have Seb and, was it Edward, to come to the front. I need your help now. Oh, I like that. Yeah, you're looking cool. If in doubt, you've got to wear this. I think you should turn around so people can see you. I don't take them off. We've got some sunglasses down here because the sun is so bright. Now, I want you to take off these badges, okay? I want you to scrunch them up, each one of them, and chuck them in the bin, okay? Paul says they're rubbish, okay? Edward, do you want to grab one and chuck it in the bin? Oh, you can hold the bin. Go for it, Seth. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, gently. Be nice. Poor Paul, she's had to go through quite a lot this morning. Brilliant, thank you. Lovely. Brilliant, thank you. Do all take a seat. Thank you very much for your help, and particularly Mariana for being so patient here for so long. Thank you. I grab that. Yeah, that's a bit later. Thank you. Do take a seat. Thank you very much. Nice shades, Edward. Brilliant. However good or bad we think we are, we're empty-handed before God, badgeless when it comes to righteousness. We stand before him in debt at a loss because nothing we are or do is perfect. And to be friends with God, living in his presence, only perfect will do. All we bring is our sin, the bad things we do that offend God, and the good things we do that we hope will put us right with God, which also offend him. So what hope is there? How can we be right with God? Paul tells us, that righteousness comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ. Righteousness comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, it's a gift of God that we receive if we believe in Jesus. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law. Before he thought he was faultless, didn't he? But now he realizes he doesn't have his own righteousness. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So the solution doesn't come from us. It comes from God. Righteousness is a gift we receive, not something that we earn or achieve. At the beginning I said, when it comes to being right with God, what we put our confidence in makes all the difference in the world. And instead of putting our confidence in ourselves, we put it in Jesus, in his perfect life, his death for us. It's not about who we are or what we do. It's about who he is and what he's done. Paul goes on to speak about Jesus, dying in our place and rising from the dead. It's through his death and resurrection that he rescues us from sin and puts us right with God. So Jesus gives us forgiveness and friendship with God as a gift. Faith in him is the right response. He is the one who makes us fit for heaven. So if I can have one last volunteer here at the front. Maybe another member of Climbers. Yeah, thank you. Brilliant. I'm afraid I get you guys mixed up. Is it? Let me guess. It's either Charlie or Alex. I'm going to go with Charlie.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. Now, Charlie, this is yours. A robe of righteousness. Why not put that on if you can? Brilliant. Okay. Perfect. A robe of righteousness. The Bible speaks of God's people being given white robes. They are bright and clean, be fit for heaven. God clothes us in righteousness, perfection. That's his gift to all who believe in him and commit to living his way. Not to earn his favour, but to respond to his gift that he has given us. Brilliant. Thank you very much. So I take that back off you. Thank you. A gift of righteousness. A robe of righteousness for heaven. Thank you, Charlie. So, that gift. Then you can rejoice this morning. That's what Paul tells us to do. Because we're friends of God. We're friends with him. We're accepted by him. And guaranteed a place in heaven. And if you haven't received his gift, then, well, at the moment you're not right with God and not friends with him. But you can receive it as a gift this morning, even today. We've actually been singing and reading and praying about it throughout the service. Hopefully you've noticed, including the prayer of confession. I'm going to pray it again now. And if you'd like to receive God's gift of righteousness, well, maybe for the first time, then you can echo this prayer in your heart. Maybe you've already received it. And sometimes it's easy to be on autopilot, isn't it, during the service, and to pray these things without thinking. Well, enjoy this prayer again. I'm going to pray it slowly. But if you've never accepted God's gift of righteousness for yourself, why not do it now using this prayer? And come and tell us afterwards. Let's pray. God of salvation, in Christ you have done great things, and so our hearts are filled with joy. By your power you lifted us out of the wasteland of sin and brought us with joy and laughter into your kingdom. Salvation is your gift to us. But we confess that often we try to replace your gift with our own efforts. We try to complete what is already perfect. We try to add to what is already full. We try to earn what we already have. Forgive us for our foolishness. Help us to receive and rely on your grace and power. For Jesus' sake alone. Amen.